down from his glory, ever living story. Oh, my God and Savior, my God and Savior came, and Jesus, Jesus was his name, born in a, he was born in a manger to his own estate, to his own stranger, the man of sorrows, griefs, and agony. Oh, oh, how I love him. How I adore you, Lord. My breath, my sun, my breath and my sunshine. My all in all, the great Creator, he became my Savior, and all of God's fullness dwelleth in. Hallelujah, how wonderful, God's fullness dwells in me. What condemnation? What condensation bringing us with him? He bringing us redemption that in the dead of night. Not one faint hope inside. Oh, gracious. Oh, stand aside. Laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo to him, to say, oh, oh, how I love him, how I adore, him, my breath, my sigh. My breath and my sunshine, my only known, the great Creator, he became my Savior, and all of God's fullness dwelling. Without faith, without any reluctance, flesh and blood, he took the form of the God-man. Hallelujah, reveal the hidden plan. Oh, glorious, oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath and my sunshine, my only no, is my only no, the great Creator. He became my Savior, and oh, God's fullness dwelleth. just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me.
Oh, let it pass from me, my Lord. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels to take the nails from his hands and set me free. Oh, had it not been
for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, and then forever my soul would be lost.
Had it not been
for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, and then forever my soul would be lost.
I'm sure that's your testimony as well. If it wasn't for the man called Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing, since, like we said the other night, now, the world is celebrating his birth. There's nothing wrong with that. They might have got the timing wrong, but Jesus was born. But we've come this evening to remember his death, because he was born to die that we might live. That was the whole purpose of his life. He was born as the perfect sacrifice. And imagine the song saying, imagine if he hadn't have been willing. No, he had to choose himself to take the bitter cup. Friends, I'm so glad that he... Like the song says, I'm so glad he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So we really have come this evening to remember the Lord. We want to greet Sister Chauke. God bless you, sister. It's so nice to see you as well. May the Lord bless you at this Christmas time. And anybody else who's here, let's open our Bible straight away before we come to prayer. Let's open to Matthew 2, verse 11. We'll just take one verse from there. It's not really a Christmas message, although depends on your definition of Christmas. If Christmas means Jesus being born 2,000 years ago, we never ever forget that. But what you really want to look at is Christmas now. And if you really want Jesus to be born in your experience, if you're wanting a deeper experience with Jesus, if you're wanting to the next stage of your Christian experience to bring forth in birth, to be birthed into what God has called you to be, that's mainly what you wanted to focus on this evening. Start on something this evening by the grace of God. Continued on Sunday, because I really found it was an important topic, something which I've been meditating on, and it's been challenging me. And really, as we get into a new year, finish off this year with different things that have taken place, just want to speak on the mystery of the burnt offering. You know, the mystery of the burnt offering. And it was quite a appropriate song Brother George chose there to sing at the end, because it's directly in line. Let's first read Matthew 2 verse 11. It says, and when they were come into the house, this is the three wise men, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we know those gifts represented Christ, his ministry, his calling, his purpose. But those gifts also speak to us of the people who gave the gifts, because those three wise men came from afar. They came through perils, they came through deserts, they came through dangerous conditions, they came through Jerusalem in its confusion. But there were a certain class of people. They were determined. They had a revelation. They were following the supernatural. And they came to present the appropriate gifts. They came to present the gifts that they had. And the gifts which they had testified of who he was in that day. You know, and that testifies also of who they were. What they went through to present these gifts. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 1. That's where we'll take our thought. We'll get to Matthew 2 by the end of the service, by the grace of God. In Leviticus chapter 1. Out of all the books in the Bible, it's interesting. The book of Leviticus has more of the direct word of God, God speaking, than any other book in the Bible. This is God speaking from the tabernacle directly to Moses. And we know when the Lord speaks, there's mystery in what he says. There's redemption in what he says. So whenever you find it, if the Bible was like the New Testament, you put the words of Jesus in red. If you took the book of Leviticus, most of it would be in red, because it's directly God speaking to Moses. So there's got to be something important if the Lord is saying these things. He's speaking of the different offerings of the Lord. We want to take the first one, read the first 9 verses to get our thought. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Every one of us has come here tonight who's a believer to bring an offering unto the Lord, haven't we? But there's a certain approach, there's a certain way, and God is very specific in revealing the way that the offerings must be brought if he's going to accept them. So he's saying, if anybody wants to bring an offering to the Lord, he says, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, so it could have been a bullock, even of the herd, you could bring a sheep or a lamb, and of the flock. It, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, which is obviously speaking about Jesus. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. So this offering we're speaking about, it's a willing, free will offering. You didn't have to offer the burnt offering in the Bible, which is the first one here. This was something that you desired yourself from your free will, a voluntary offering, that you wanted to present something to Jehovah. So the Lord is saying, if you want to come and offer something to me, if you're willing, let me show you the way to offer so that I can bring the full blessing down upon you, on your offering. He says, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So you're not coming gathering here today because you want to be seen by people. Our offering is before the Lord. Now, friends, the devil wants to distract us, sidetrack us, do all these things when we look at other people. But let's always remember the things that we do, let's do them before the Lord. Even if nobody else appreciates you, the Lord appreciates you. You just keep offering your offering. You just keep coming with your voluntary offering before the Lord. Because that's the important part of this offering, was before the Lord. Verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock. Notice, it's not the priest killing the bullock. It's the person bringing the offering. He lays his hands that he has to kill it. This is a very personal offering that he's making. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar. That is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he, the offerer, shall flay the burnt offering. He has to skin it, take off the skin, and cut it into pieces, but very particularly. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts. Now look at the parts that had to be offered as a burnt offering. The head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. Verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Wouldn't you desire your offering to be that tonight? A sweet savor unto the Lord. Because like it says, when the sweet savor goes up, the blessings come down. God really reveals himself and makes himself known. Let's just pray. Father, we do thank you upon this night for your word. How we long, Lord, just to enter into your word. That, Father, we may understand, Father, the greatness of your thoughts towards us. Father, how you long for us to come and bring our offering, but how particular that you are. And Father, how you desire to instruct us and to teach us in your ways, that, Lord, we may not offer vain oblations, that we may not come upon this night to offer offerings, Lord, that are not acceptable before you. Father, we think of the priests of Baal and how they prayed and they shouted and cut themselves and jumped. Right from, Father, the morning time, the midday to the time of the evening sacrifice. But Father, the heavens were like brass. But Lord, when Elijah came and he offered things your provided way, Father, how he just prayed a simple prayer. And Father, there was a blessing. There was fire. There was a response that came from heaven. So Father, upon our souls, upon this night, how we would desire as individuals to come to bring ourselves before thee. For how we would desire, Lord, a divine blessing. A divine response, Lord, to every offering that you'd bring to offer before the Lord. So may you instruct us, Lord, in the preciousness of your word upon this night, Lord, we pray. Father, upon this night, even as prayer has been prayed, Father, we just come. Lord, you said in your word that if two of you agree concerning anything on earth, Father, we're taking you at your word tonight. Because there's more than two of us agreeing on behalf of our sister Julie tonight. Father, we agree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and we send forth your word of healing. Father, we possess the gate of that enemy. Lord, we say to that enemy to depart in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just say no more. Father, may you look down with angry eyes even now upon the tormentor, Lord, that you desire to torment our sister in her health. Father, may you look down with those eyes that, Lord, troubled Pharaoh and his chariots, Lord. And may you trouble, Lord, that spirit, Lord, of affliction that would desire to afflict our sister. And Father, even as Moses went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my son go that he may worship me." Father, we just send forth the same word and we say to Pharaoh in this day, Father, to the taskmasters who desire to afflict your people, to let your daughter go that she may come, Father, once again in your courts to worship thee with liberty, Lord, not being bound or held down in any way. And Father, we'll give you the praise and honor and the glory. And Father, we know that you are so faithful and true to your word. And that's how we take you at your word this night. And we thank you, Lord, in anticipation, Lord, because you are always faithful and you are always true. Bless Brother Wilmore, bless his family as well. The children, be with them, Lord, at this time we ask. Them that haven't managed to come tonight, Father, different people at work and different places, we pray for them, Lord. Father, we pray for our sister who is visiting. May you bless her while she shall bless her husband as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I'm going to really try not to take long. Like I said, that's the fatal statement, but there's a lot that could be said about this burnt offering, and it's a lot of very important principles, which when I was just reading on these things this last couple of weeks, I couldn't get away from this particular thought. You know, sometimes, I'm sure you're like me, you come to the end of a year, you like to review the way things have been, and you want to look to the new year with divine leadership inside of your life. You know, you don't want to just enter into the new year aimlessly and say, well, we'll see how it goes. Wouldn't you desire rather divine instruction for the Lord to show you clearly that if you desire a greater portion of my will, if you desire a greater portion of my blessing, if you desire a greater portion of authority, you desire a greater portion of your inheritance, this is what you've got to do. You know, because the Lord is so wonderful. We don't just leave our children the way that they are. We give them instruction. Now, we'll tell them, Daniel, if you want to do well at school, this is what you've got to do. You listen to the teacher. You do your homework. We give them exactly the instruction that they need to be successful because of the greatness of our love for them. Because we've brought them forth. How much more the Lord who's brought us forth? How much more does he, having good thoughts for us, how much more would he want to just make plain and clear to us if we're hungering and thirsting and seeking his face? How much more do you think the Lord is earnestly desiring to reveal more of himself to us and make himself more real and lead us into places that we haven't been before? And I'm sure the Lord, when He looks down upon us, as I say, with an expectation, a desire inside of our souls, a thirst for more of Him. I don't think there can be any person that thirsts for more of the Lord that God doesn't immediately respond to come and reveal to you the way that you can have more of Him. The way that He can have more of you, maybe more importantly, which is the topic we wanted to have a look at this evening. Like Brother Christian was saying it the other night, and the other day, I really enjoyed that. When he was saying about, you know, people get so wrapped up in looking at the flashing lights of His coming and so forth, but, you know, they fail to see, they want to examine the lights, how they work, but what about just having a look at your luggage and making sure that things are packed up properly and that you're ready to go because the train is coming soon? You know, so that's, I'm sure it's always been my focus personally in my life, is it's got to be the personal gospel. No matter what you're preaching about, if you can't bring it back to our own lives, if you can't bring it back to something which is practical that can be applied in our lives, I think we've missed the point. Now, we all went through the stage and the days of our youth and the message of the catchphrases of the message that we all loved, the different phrases and slogans, and we jumped up and down with those things. But then in the end, you say, but where does this really get us? Where does this get us on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday when there's temptations at work, when there's troubles in the home, when there's troubles in the church? Now, you want something substantial. You want something that's real. Like the prophet says, you want something that'll stick to your ribs. You know, you want that kind of something that it leaves an imprint, it leaves an impact. And although the word may come with a standard and show you God's principles and God's order, and maybe you may not immediately be able to walk into that possession in a day, but it's wonderful when the Lord shows you the principles of His word. Because when He reveals it to you, revelation can never be taken away from you. Something that's revealed to you will never forget. Because it's a divine operation in the soul of a person. And the Lord says, upon this rock I'll build my church. You may forget about it. You may think you've forgotten about it. But in the time of crisis, in the time of need, the Holy Ghost brings it to your remembrance once again. And then it becomes your defense. It becomes your tutor, your guide. It becomes the light upon your path. It becomes the very thing that you need to take you from where you are at that time to the next stage, the next step of what you're supposed to do. And when I was studying these offerings, the reason I got onto Leviticus, the first five chapters are the five different offerings of the Lord. Now the prophet preaches, we may look at it on Sunday, when he preached Elijah and the meal offering. It was so interesting to me that why he chose that title. Because that woman in the days of Elijah, the widow woman, she didn't come to a priest. She didn't come to the tabernacle, but she did something. And the prophet called it Elijah and the meal offering. And I was really interested. I said, what is there about this meal offering? Now, the meal offering is Leviticus chapter 2. And it's a very powerful principle on the meal offering. But I said, but what is before the meal offering? Leviticus 1 is the burnt offering. Then you get on to the peace offering, the trespass offering, the sin offering. These are the five different offerings that the Lord instituted for different reasons, different seasons, different junctions in your experience. That the Lord would say, if you have such and such a need, this is how you approach me for with a meal offering. If you have such and such a need, this is the trespass offering. If you've got sin in your life, this is the sin offering. This is how you approach me so that I can accept you once again if you're in your sin. So the Lord in these chapters is speaking out of the tabernacle, out of the Shekinah, straight to Moses. To say, Moses, I'm now dwelling in the midst of my people. My people are going to make mistakes. My people are going to trespass. My people are going to commit sin. Therefore, for me to dwell in their midst and to accept them, I've made a provision for them. Here's the sin offering. Here's the trespass offering. That if the people want to come and maybe offer something out of gratitude, if the people are wanting a deeper experience, a deeper walk with me, there's other types of offerings. There's the burnt offering. There's the meal offering. Thanksgiving offerings. Peace offerings. There are different types of offerings in the Bible. And this one, the burnt offering, is the foundational offering. It's the foundational offering of all offerings. This burnt offering is an offering, if you wanted to be accepted before the Lord, you would come to bring a burnt offering. It was a real important thing because the first thing, like it says about Abel, the Lord had respect to Abel and then to his offering. So you've got to get things right. You have got to be in an acceptable condition before you come and offer anything to the Lord. Before you come with any other type of an offering, you first must be acceptable before the Lord. And this burnt offering was an offering to make someone accepted before the Lord. And friends, if the Lord accepts you, he's going to bless you. If the Lord accepts you, he's going to meet you where you are. If the Lord accepts you, he's going to minister to the very situation that you find yourself in tonight. But the key to so many of these things is we bring our offerings, we bring our oblations, we bring all these things, but our souls are not acceptable before the Lord. We are not in a condition that God can pour blessing upon us, because God doesn't want to encourage us if we're not walking in the right ways. It's like us with our children. Are you going to give blessings to your children when they're being disobedient to you? You're going to withhold the blessings for a season. You're going to withhold the smiling face. And they're going to have to put up with another kind of a face because you're trying to teach them a lesson. But the moment they line up and they're doing things the right way, and they're coming and they're presenting things in the right way, and you can tell they're right in their hearts, they're right in their souls, they're right in their approach, it's just natural that the blessings are going to come forth from you. It's just natural that you're going to bless them, and you're going to want to show that side of your character that you always wanted to show to them. But you can't reward them when they're not in the right condition. And it's the same with these offerings before the Lord. The Lord cannot reward us as individuals or as a church or as a bride or anything until we're in the right condition. And that's why this burnt offering becomes such an important thing. Because in essence, the only way God can pour his blessings down is when we become the burnt offering. That's what you're going to see from this chapter. We have to become a burnt offering. Then we become acceptable before the Lord. And then the Lord will respond from heaven. The Lord will do everything that he's said that he's going to do for us inside of his word. But this burnt offering, we've got to associate ourselves in here. Now, whenever you read anything in the Bible, anything under the law of Moses, the primary fulfillment is in Jesus. Jesus is the perfect burnt offering. He's the sin offering. He's the peace offering. He's the trespass offering. So primarily every one of these types of offerings was speaking of Christ, was speaking of his life, was speaking of his sacrifice, was speaking of his service. Everything in the tabernacle firstly speaks of Jesus. He is the high priest. He is the priesthood. He is the altar. He is the mercy seat. But then secondarily, Jesus being the fullness of the word, we are the word as well. So if we can find Jesus in the scripture, we can find ourselves as well, because we are part of the word. Because we came from the same place that he came from. So we can find ourselves in there as well. And the Bible says that Jesus, the captain of our salvation, he had to suffer many things to bring many sons to glory. So he's gone before us. He's shown us the way. He's the big brother who came to show us how to be acceptable. What kind of a life is acceptable? That if we wanted to come up in the resurrection, let's look at the life that Jesus lived. Because Jesus, when he laid in that tomb for 3 days, he came up in the resurrection. The power of the resurrection struck him and raised him from the dead. And Jehovah was showing, I've perfectly accepted this offering that has been made. So Jesus is our sin offering. Jesus is our trespass offering. But Jesus also, his entire life was a burnt offering. Because Jesus' entire life was a sweet savor before the Lord. That's why you find at his baptism, the voice comes, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then you find the dove descended on the Jordan. You find at Mount Transfiguration, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. It was always like that. There was never a failure in Jesus that when he set his face heavenward, that there wasn't a divine response. Whenever he had prayed, there was a response. Whatever he would do, there'd be a response. Why? Because it was a certain type of life. His life was a certain offering that was laying on the altar before the Lord. And it was a continual sweet savor before the Lord. His life was always coming up before Jehovah. And that's why Jesus says, I always do that which pleases my Father. And that's why he could just ask. And he knew, my Father's always with me. He knew that. He had such a confidence. But it was based on the fact that his life was a certain type of a life. And friends, he is the great example to each and every one of us. That he is the one who shows us the way to adoption because he came to his adoption. He is the one who shows us the way to the full inheritance because he, after his death, burial, and resurrection, was given a name above every other name. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And he says, to him that overcomes, will allow to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am seated with my Father in his throne. So the principles of the life of Jesus, obviously, are so wonderful and so rich. And that's why when you take these things, you obviously firstly have to see Jesus. He is the Passover lamb. Jesus is Isaac on Mount Moriah. And in every one of these types and shadows, first you've got to see Jesus. The prophet says, if you read any verse and don't see Jesus, read it again because you've missed the point. Because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The mystery of God in each of these shadows and types is in Christ. But Christ has his bride. Adam had Eve in him. She had to come forth as well. So we're going to find ourselves in there as well. Christ is the golden candlestick. He's the light of the world. But it's also the seven church ages. Because we being in Christ become the light of the world. We are the city which cannot be hid. So you find there's always the compound meaning. Primarily Christ, secondarily is the believer. You'll find yourself in there. So we want to find ourselves in the burnt offering. We want to find, but what was Jehovah thinking about when he spoke from the glory to his prophet and said, if people want to come and offer a burnt offering to me, this is what they've got to do. For me to accept them, I want to accept them. But let them come and present this offering to me in this kind of a way. And that's what the Lord was speaking about here. Now, just a question that Brother Brian was asking about communion, which was a good question. I thought I'd quickly just drop it in here, is that everything from the Old Testament is shadows and types. And we can, they say, there's a saying which the Christians of old used to say, which is true. I liked it when I was a young believer. They say, the old is the new concealed. So the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. It's hidden in there. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So you find they work together. You'll never understand the Old Testament without the New Testament. And you'll never understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. Because some of the greatest teachings of the gospel are in the Old Testament. These law offerings, these offerings, when you get into them, they speak so much of Christ and his life and his death. That there's far more recorded of Christ and his mission and his life in these sacrifices than you find written in the Gospels themselves. And that's the way that God made it. Because Christ is the fulfillment of all of these things. These are the shadows and the types. So there was a question. Brother Brian and Sister Deirdre, they went to a church where they stayed near there in Kilkeel. And the people were taking communion, but they were taking grape juice and just normal bread. And Sister Deirdre and them refused to take it. And then Brother Brian asked the question to say, now, what's wrong with doing that? Now, God is very particular with his offerings. Before the Lord will accept something, he prescribes himself. If you read the book of Leviticus, God will never leave it up to you and I to make up our own minds and our decisions how we want to approach the Lord. If we want to approach the Lord, he has his prescribed way. And he will reveal it and make it known. So when we're coming tonight to take communion, this communion isn't something that just started in the New Testament. This communion started in the Old Testament. Because communion started with the Passover. When Jesus was taking the Last Supper and breaking the bread and giving the wine to his disciples, it was the Passover meal. It was the night of the Passover. So this, which we're doing now, is a fulfillment of something that started in the Old Testament. This is a fulfillment of what Moses and the children of Israel on the Passover night did. When there was death in the land and they wanted deliverance had come, the Lord said, there's death. And he says, in the evening time, that's how we take communion in the evening time. The children of Israel came out in the evening time. They never came out in the morning. So in the evening time, they had to take their lamb. They roasted it in a certain way. And they took the unleavened bread and they had the Passover meal. Now Jesus came to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. But he now converted the Passover meal, brought it into the new dispensation. And he says, this isn't just a meal anymore, speaking of deliverance from Egypt. This is something far greater. This is speaking of deliverance from sin, deliverance from death, deliverance from the consequences of sin. And he says, this isn't just a Passover lamb. He says, I'm the Passover lamb. And this unleavened bread, which they ate back there in Exodus chapter 12, this is my body that's broken for you. And this wine that you drink at the Passover meal, in commemoration of deliverance from Egypt, I'm bringing the true deliverance. This wine is the new covenant in my blood. So Jesus was taking the very ordinance from the Old Testament, which God had told them exactly how to do it, and he was bringing it into New Testament times. And things didn't change much. It was the revelation behind it. In the Old Testament, they took unleavened bread in the evening time, and they took wine. The same as in the New Testament. Jesus, it was the evening time. He took unleavened bread. He took wine. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples. Take, drink, this is my blood. So it shows that Jesus was just moving things in the channel of redemption to show the greater fulfillment, the greater reality of what the Passover was signifying. But Jesus kept those elements exactly the same. He didn't change them. Jesus didn't come and say, it's okay, Moses gave an ordinance to take wine, now we can take grape juice. Or now we can take Ribena. And he didn't say, Moses said it must be unleavened bread. It's okay, now you can eat normal bread. You're breaking the continuity of the scriptures. You can't break the types of the scripture. You know, so that's why you've got to see that something has to go from Genesis to Revelation, the prophecies. It's got to flow through the scriptures, otherwise there's something wrong somewhere. So that's why, just in answering the brother's question, which was a good one, that's why we'll never take communion in the morning. Because the Passover was in the evening. Jesus' Last Supper was in the evening. We've got to do it in the evening. Jesus said, I've given this as an example to you. This do in remembrance of me. They took unleavened bread in the Passover at the beginning of the Bible. Took unleavened bread in the middle of the Bible at the Last Supper. We've got to take unleavened bread as well. You see, we've got to keep the continuity of the ordinances of God. Jesus says, I never came to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. That's why we don't have sacrificing of lambs, because he is the lamb that was sacrificed. He fulfilled the ordinance of the Old Testament. But on this particular ordinance, he didn't fulfill it to stop us doing it. No, to say you don't need this anymore. He says, no, this one, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we have to continue on with unleavened bread. And we've got to continue on with wine, which has power. It has alcohol in it. This isn't non-alcoholic wine. The prophet says the blood of Christ is powerful. The blood will never lose its power. That's why this is 12.5% to whatever it is, alcohol inside of there. This isn't grape juice. The blood of Christ hasn't lost its power. The blood of Christ still has its full power that it had in the beginning. And that's why we take the wine the way that we do. So I just wanted to pass by and just explain that's why. Now, denominational churches, maybe they don't understand that. They're sincere, I'm sure, in what they're doing. But when I was in the Pentecostal church, we used to take Ribena and crackers. You know those crackers, like Jacob's crackers, we used to take that as communion. In the days of ignorance. But if you want to offer something to the Lord, make sure you do it the way that God has prescribed that it should be done. These are divine ordinances. These didn't come from our imagination. These things didn't originate with man. These things originated in the Shekinah presence of God. And there was a deep mystery in them, and he revealed them forth so that we would know how to approach him the right way. So we would know how to handle the sacred things that God has prescribed to his church. And that's why water baptism has to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't break the continuity of scripture. You can't have every baptism in the book of Acts being in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you say, now we can baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're breaking the continuity of the scriptures. It's in the place where he has chosen to place his name. And what is his name? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where eternal life is found. That's under the blood you'll find his name. His name will always be there. And that's how we baptize the way that we do. And foot washing, Jesus said, I've given you the example that you should do as I've done to you. So that's how we wash one another's feet. Because Jesus, anything which Jesus instructed them to, gave as an example, the prophet says, is a commandment to us. His example is our commandment. And that's how it should be in the life of a believer. Now we all do fall short on this, that, and the other. But on the things that we can do, let's do them. Let's do them in the spirit. Let's do them with all of our hearts. Let's do them in an acceptable way. And there's always a blessing that comes forth if you do it like that. So that's why we take communion the way that we do. Just to get back to this burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering, like I say, was the foundation of all other offerings. If you trace through, let's go and have a look at the very first example of a burnt offering in the Bible. It was in the days of Noah. If you go to Genesis chapter 8, just to show the origination of this offering. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, showing that this was a voluntary offering. This is not a sin offering. This isn't something which was compulsory in the Bible, like the Passover. This was a voluntary giving of something to the Lord. And if it was done the right way, the Lord would give something of himself back in return. That's what this offering is to. Genesis 8, verse 20. This is after the flood. It says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." And what does it say the next verse? "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." This wasn't a sin offering. This was a thanksgiving in a sense. This was him coming to present clean offerings before the Lord to say, "Lord, you've granted us grace. We just want to continue to be accepted before you." And that offering, it was a sacrifice of blood. It would go up before the Lord. And it would become sweet before the Lord. And look what it says in that verse. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart." So this is something that touches the heart of God. That you've come and offered something that God in his heart, he had just cursed the earth. He had been angry, the storm, the waves, he's flooded, he's destroyed the earth. Noah gets out and he offers this offering, a burnt offering before the Lord. The smoke of the burnt offering goes up before Jehovah. And Jehovah forgets the curse, forgets his anger, forgets his wrath. And he turns and he looks at Noah and says, "I want to bring forth a blessing upon this man." Friends, what a wonderful thing that is. Amen. That you can do something inside of your life. You can offer an offering that can, no matter what God was thinking about you before, you can come and lay first maybe a sin offering if you've sinned. But then you offer a certain offering, a burnt offering. You lay yourself upon the altar and you do something for the Lord. You offer a certain service for the Lord. And it comes up before him, and it's so pleasing before the Lord that the Lord forgets all the anger, forgets all the punishment and the judgment of before, and says, "Okay, I'm going to bless you now." Friends, that's a wonderful thing to do. And we all need that on a regular basis. We all need that kind of a thing. It says, "The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." You may have been cursed in your finances. You may have been cursed in your health because the Lord is trying to instruct you of something. Because the Lord was displeased, maybe not discerning the body of the Lord or whatever, like Paul said. But friends, God has a way that you can approach him once again. And you can change the whole atmosphere. You can change the whole direction. You can change the whole impetus of your spiritual walk with God by coming and bringing that offering before the Lord. And like I said, Paul brings us in the New Testament, summarizes and says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord. This offering is you coming to offer yourself to the Lord. The prophet says, and you must be born again. He says, you're not bringing something else to put on the altar. God wants you on the altar. That's what this burnt offering is speaking about. It's speaking of consecration before the Lord. It speaks of dedication and consecration of all that you are and all that you have to the service of Jehovah. And when you do that, wait and see the great portion of heaven that opens up for you. Because that's the conditions of adoption. Now you've got to come into this kind of a condition. The sin offering, the trespass offering, that's like being at the brazen altar in the tabernacle. You've got a guilty conscience. You've sinned against the Lord. You don't have confidence before the Lord. You don't have confidence before his people. God had a provision. He says, bring a bullock, lay your hands, slay the bullock. This is a sin offering. And there'd be a transference of your guilt and the penalty that should have been upon you as you laid hands upon the bullock and the bullock was slain or whatever the offering was, a sheep or a goat. Your guilt was transferred immediately onto the sacrifice. And then once the guilt was transferred, death was immediate. The animal was slain. Then you would take the blood and offer it at the base of the altar and so forth. And the prophet says, as that smoke with blood went up before the Lord, he would look through the bloody smoke and he would look at the worshiper, and now he would accept their prayers once again. He would accept their worship once again. So God has a sin offering, and friends, we need to use the sin offering. He has a trespass offering for things that were done not voluntarily. You didn't realize some of these things. God says, it doesn't matter if you know it's sin or not. If you do it, it's still sin. But he says, if you trespass against the Lord, there's a certain type of offering that you can make. And the Lord was so mindful of people, because the Lord had three different levels or different types of offering that could be given. He says, you can bring of your herds, which was a bullock if you were rich. You can bring of your flocks, a sheep, a goat, if you weren't so rich. Or you can bring a turtle dove. No, if you hardly had anything, you could bring a turtle dove. But each of those speaks about Christ. He is the great, no matter which offering you're speaking about. Christ is the bullock. He is the laboring sacrifice. That's who he is. The prophet speaks of the ox anointing, the laboring sacrifice. Christ came and he labored, and it was an acceptable sacrifice every day that he labored. He was Jehovah's servant. Behold, my servant in whom I'm well pleased. That's who he was. But Christ was also obviously the lamb. He was the sheep, the lamb of God born from the foundation of the world. He was the lamb to take away the sins of the world. And the prophet says on the wings of a snow white dove, Christ was the turtle dove as well. The turtle dove is eternally united to one mate. It's faithful to its mate. And how they'd bring those two turtle doves in the ceremony, kill the one, wring its neck, pour the blood on the other one, and let it go free. And it would go forth with the blood of its mate upon him, having gone free. And he says that speaks of Christ's death in the church, having gone free. So he's the great turtle dove as well. So each of these things speaks of the great ministry of Christ. And depending on where we are or the needs that we have, God wanted to make sure that these things were readily available. Imagine the Lord didn't say, if you commit a sin, go and sacrifice an elephant. He didn't. He didn't say, go and hunt a deer in the wilds. It was going to be difficult. He says, look, you've got your flocks, you've got your herds. Just go and take something that's there. He made sure that these sacrifices, that whenever there was a soul that was seeking for mercy, the way to mercy was readily available. If you wanted mercy, there were sheep there. If you wanted mercy, there were lambs right there. If you wanted, there was a bullock right there. There were turtle doves right there. There were domestic animals. They were right there all the time with you. You just had to take what the provision that Jehovah had given to you and take it and go and offer it before the Lord. And it became an atonement before the Lord for his people. He's very mindful of his people, friends. Amen. He's very mindful. And tonight there's an offering for each and every one of us, for whatever condition that we are. If your soul is thirsty for communion with God, let me tell you something. God is more thirsty for communion with you than you are for communion with him. And if there's something between you and your Savior, there's an offering tonight. Why sit there with a guilty conscience? Why sit there with the burden of sin and bondage upon yourself? Why not take advantage of Jehovah's great sacrifice and offering and Jehovah's provided way that he's made for his people, that he brings in the message of the hour in the days of Moses, reveals the way of approach and says, my Exodus people, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter the condition that they are, I want a fellowship with my people. I'm dwelling in the midst of my people, but the people are not in a reality of communion with me. There's an offering for that. There's something that they can come and do to bridge the gap. Something can stand in the gap and put a hand upon a holy God and a sinful man and bring a reconciliation between them. And friends, obviously it speaks to us of Calvary. That's what it speaks of. These great offerings. But it also speaks to us about ourselves. It also speaks that we can come, friends. That you can be moved of the Lord. And you can come and make a determination in your own heart. You can say, Lord, I want to give more to you. As we go into this year, I want my life to be a burnt offering. I don't want to just give part of who I am to you. I want this whole offering to be consumed by you. I want to bring all that I am and I want to lay it upon the altar. And friends, that's the need of each and every one of us tonight. As we enter into this new year, if we wanted to see greater manifestation of God, if we wanted to see greater portion of inheritance, friends, it's not the responsibility of the ministry alone. It's not the responsibility of the musicians to bring the Spirit down. It's not the responsibility of other people. It's an individual responsibility. You have to voluntarily from your heart come and offer yourself as a burnt offering. And if each and every one of us would come to this place having laid ourselves upon the altar, the way that the scripture says. Friends, the prophet says you'd be hearing about the meetings in the newspapers of Dublin, the things that should be taking place. But the need is for each of us as individuals to realize our own personal obligation before Jehovah, that He's calling us as individuals to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, because His glory, His fire can only descend upon sacrifice. The prophet says you've got to do something for God to respect. That's not concerning sin. There's nothing you can do to have an atonement for sin. Sin has already been atoned for at Calvary. There's a sin offering, there's a trespass offering. But if you want to be accepted before the Lord, if you're wanting a greater blessing because God has more accepted your sacrifice, your worship, your condition in a greater way, you have to become the burnt offering. But that's why it's a voluntary offering. God will never force anybody onto the altar. God will never do that. But when you get to the stage and you experience like Hannah, that you're no longer satisfied with a barren womb, you're no longer satisfied just going to the tabernacle having a barren womb, going home with a barren womb, coming back next feast with a barren womb. There's got to come a time that the crying out of your womb meets something that the deep is seeking for. And finally she got to one feast and she went differently that day and said, this time I'm not coming back the same. My womb is crying out. My husband's trying to console me, saying, don't worry about it. I'm better than 10 sons to you. I love my husband. I like the consolation he's trying to give me. But there's something inside of my soul that is not just satisfied with that. I want to bring forth something. I feel there's something I'm personally supposed to bring forth for the kingdom of God. And Hannah came and she brought forth Samuel the prophet. And prophecy came back at the end of the days of the judges and brought the children of Israel back in a condition that the kingdom of David could come among them. But it took a woman that in the end she wasn't satisfied with the barren condition. It was fine being in Israel, being in the covenant people, being in the message of the hour. It was wonderful coming to the tabernacle for the feasts and those kind of things. But she looked at herself and said, all these other women are bringing forth fruit from their wombs. I'm not bringing forth fruit from my womb. Am I not also ordained to bring forth fruit from my womb? And then she went back to the promises of the word and said, there should be no barren womb in Israel. And friends, there should not be no barren womb in Israel, spiritually speaking otherwise. God doesn't want our spiritual wombs to be barren. He wants each and every one of us to be bringing forth fruit for His glory. Friends, that's His desire. That's His aim. Sometimes He has to stir the nest. Sometimes He has to take us through things that are difficult, to push us into our positions and say, why are you crying to me? Speak and go forward. That's what He wants us to do. But sometimes you want to be like Gideon, which is our next burnt offering. Let's move to Gideon and have a look in Judges chapter 6. I'm just getting a bit out of line here, but it's okay. May the Lord have His way. In Judges chapter 6, speaking of Gideon, look in verse 26. Now let's get a picture of the days of Gideon before we read this verse. In the days of Gideon, he was living in the promised land. We know Gideon well. He was harvesting his wheat, but the Midianites, the enemy was coming and taking their harvest every year. And Gideon's having to hide away in the wine press and take his little bit of wheat that he's managed to salvage, and he's threshing it in the wine press. And the Lord looked down on him and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor, but you don't realize it. You don't realize who you are. You don't realize the potential that's in you. You don't realize my thoughts towards you. And the prophet in that message, if God be with us, where be His miracles? He says, the first beginning of chapter 6, Israel gets out of tune with God. They lose the blessing. The enemy comes upon them. The next part of the verse, God sends a prophet to them and says, remember who God is. He brought you out of Egypt. He hasn't changed. He will deliver you from these enemies if you put yourself in His hand. And then the prophet says, Gideon and his father were sitting listening to that prophet. He says, and then Gideon was going back to the wine press there and threshing his wheat. And he wasn't satisfied. He was saying, but if God is with us, where are His miracles? If God is with us, why are we bound like this? Why are we fearing our enemies? And the prophet says, do you notice the good thing? When the prophet went off the scene, the angel of the Lord came. And the angel of the Lord had a commission to go and show Gideon who he really was. And that's the same commission the angel of the Lord has to us. He's trying to persuade us of who we really are. But some of us are so backward. I know for myself. Remember the prophet says that about himself. He says, Lord, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's like you have to push me into things. Now the Lord wants to reveal to us that humility is good. But don't let the devil take advantage of your humility. Don't look at yourself like Gideon and say, but who am I and who is my father's house? And when the angel of the Lord is saying to you, you're a mighty man of valor. Although you may not see the manifestation yet, say, that's true. Persuade me of that. Feed my faith that I can come to a realization of that. And the angel of the Lord came down with that commission now to reveal to Gideon who he was. The prophet had gone off the scene. The angel of the Lord now came down to Gideon in that condition and started to reveal, you're a mighty man of valor. And he says, but if the Lord is with us, where is miracles? And he says, go in this thy might. And what did the Lord say that he must do? Verse chapter 6, verse 26, Judges. The Lord says, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. So the Lord revealed this rock to him. Upon this rock I'll build my church. It's always like that. God has a particular place. And he says, Gideon, if you want to see the fullness of what I have for you and what I made you for, the first thing you need to do, if you read this chapter, go and break down these idols. Remember, go and break down these images to Baal that your fathers raised up. Stop compromising with these things. Hey, and the man was scared, said, for me to go and do that, let me do it at night. And he goes at night and he breaks the images, cuts down the groves, all the trees. That's the first thing, friends. If you want to see the fullness of what God has for you and has for me, let's stop playing around with the images and the idols and the groves. And some of us are so worried about our image. That's the great thing that holds us back from God. Who cares what people think about you? It's what God thinks about you that matters. But some of us are so worried about images. What will people think of me? Why are people saying this about me? Why do people not accept? Forget the images. The only thing you have to worry about, what does God's word say about you? And you go and wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, continue to persuade me of what you think about me. Because that's the only thing that really matters. And friends, when we fully catch a revelation of what God thinks about us, we're going in the rapture. Amen. Once we catch a full revelation of what God thinks about us. But the devil wants to tell us a lot of things. He wants to inspire other people to tell us a lot of things. But friends, let's not lose the vision. Let's not lose the focus. Let's keep our ears open to the right thing. The only thing that really matters is what the Lord thinks about us. And that's why he sent a prophet with a message to come and tell us who we were. But sometimes, like Brother Christian was saying the other day, we like the woman there who had the nice letters in her Bible. Remember the nice pictures in her Bible? You know, the prophet gives that story. And the woman got into such poverty. And she called in the social welfare. And they came there and says, but you know, don't you have any sons? Yes, I have such a lovely son, but he's living in India. And says, but what is he? Is he a poor man? No, he's a rich man. He has a very good job there. Does he not help you? He says, no, he never says me. I think he must be busy. Maybe he doesn't have enough. But he sends me nice pictures. And they said, show us these pictures. And she said, the prophet says she kept them in her Bible. And the lady went and said, here's the pictures. They weren't pictures, they were money orders. And those people said, you've got so much wealth in here that you didn't know that you had. If you only realize what your son was sending to you, you've been living in poverty. All you had to do was open up your Bible and see those aren't just pictures. That's wealth. That's to meet every need that you have. You already have the resources to meet those needs. And friends, that's a process we're going through in the bride. And some of us get there slower than others. But every member of the bride will get there in the end. To realize our resources, to realize why this message came. To realize that we are eternal in our souls. That we came from God, we go back to God. That just as much as Jesus could say, Father, restore unto me the glory I had with you from the foundation of the world. That we can say the same thing because our souls are just as much part of God as Jesus was part of God. That's why our souls, they persuade us to believe, to step out in faith. But sometimes, like the brother was saying the other day, it's our temperament, it's our nature. We want to listen too much to the outward circumstances of things, yet there's something inside of there that wants to express itself. That says, step out in faith. Get out of the boat and walk. Even if you sink, it's okay. He's going to reach out his hand and pick you up. Even if you look at the circumstance, the prophet, at least Peter was willing to give it a go. The rest of the disciples weren't willing to give it a go. And friends, I really do believe as we get into this year, step out in faith. Step out in your calling. Step out in the jurisdiction that God has placed you in. Stop listening to the voices of negativity. Stop listening to the voice of the critic. The critic's out of the spirit in the beginning, otherwise why would they criticize? It's not worthwhile listening to the voice of criticism. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Friends, and the message of the hour, it's such a revelation of the voice of the Lord, that voice that came from the Shekinah glory, to show us how we can be acceptable and offer an acceptable offering before the Lord. So the Lord says to Gideon, Gideon, there's one thing lacking here between you and your inheritance. You predestinated. You're exactly the right man. The appointed time has come. There's one thing left, is the burnt offering. That's right. And friends, it's the same as us. There's only one thing left. Let's become the burnt offering. Let's die to our thoughts. Let's die to our opinions. Let's die to our differences that we have with one another. Lay them on the altar. Let them be consumed in the holy fire of God. Until there's just ashes left of those things. In the end, Gideon took the wood from the groves and he used that for the burnt offering. And that's what you need. Sometimes you need to burn our bridges and use that and burn it so that it's consumed until there's no way back to the past. But sometimes you want to stand with one foot in both camps. Friends, double-minded people get nothing from the Lord. It's better to step out and make a mistake than not to step out at all. It's better to be, the prophet says, I'd rather be found a failure than be found a hypocrite. Even if you fail, well, God's going to pick up and dust you down and say, why don't you just give it another go? Because that's what the Lord does. So Gideon now, in the end, he makes a choice. He says, this is what the Lord is saying about me. Is this is what God predestinated for me? And the Lord says, go, I'll deliver them, the Midianites, by you as one man. Hey, one man. And you know how the Lord encouraged him and helped him in his faith and so forth. But he brought the man to the stage and Gideon says, if I perish, I perish. And he laid himself upon the altar and says, Lord, I'm going. And when he went, what did they say? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Hey, friends, that was his adoption. It wasn't just Gideon going out, it was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that's what will be with you and I as well. The sword of the Lord and Maxwell. The sword of the Lord and Brother Branham in Sabino Canyon. The king's sword came down. Because here was a man that lived a certain kind of a life. And God says, this is a burnt offering. This man has no ambition of his own. This man's not trying to make a name for himself. This man's not trying to establish an organization. This man's trying to live a life for my glory. This man has one aim, one objective, one desire, to bring spiritual worship between me and my people. And that was a real burnt offering. Everything else had been consumed in the life of the prophet. And then the Lord says, he has the sword. Same like with Gideon. And he went forward to his adoption. And that was Gideon's adoption. Right. It's always like that, friends. You've got to come to the stage that you say, I want to go deeper in the Lord. Yeah. You know, the prophet went to the full gospel businessmen that day. And they were all, then the woman came with their short hair and they were sitting at the back. And they were nudging each other and laughing when Brother Bram was preaching. They didn't want Brother Bram to see their short hair. The anointing came down. He got in the spirit of discernment and he picked them out straight away. And he says, you sisters back there, he says, God has taken you as far as he can until you're willing to pay a greater price. And it's the same as us, friends. To me, that to me is the New Year's message to us. God has taken us as far as he can until we're willing to pay a greater price. Until we're willing to become a burnt offering. Until we're willing to lay it all on the altar. Let's look at this burnt offering again, Luke chapter 1. Like I said, there's so many different ways you can take it. But look in Leviticus chapter 1. Look at what this being a burnt offering or offering a burnt offering involved. We won't take much longer here. Leviticus 1, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Now, friends, what is your desire for 2014? Is it to do things just for yourself? Well, you're not going to get much of a blessing. But if you're desiring to bring an offering to the Lord, if you wanted to do something for the Lord, if you wanted to give something to the Lord, and you do it the right way, I can prophesy without being a prophet, you're going to have a wonderful year. You're going to have affliction. You're going to have the devil fighting every step of the way, but you're going to have a lot of glory inside of your soul. You're going to have a lot of divine reality in your experience if you wanted to bring an offering unto the Lord. If that is your absolute, is that is your supreme, the first thing in all your decisions. The first thing when you plan your diary, you put the Lord's things in the diary. You don't put the Lord around your things, but you put God first. Now you're in the way to becoming a burnt offering. If you want to bring an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Now, if you're wanting this to be acceptable for the Lord to consume this, and it become a sweet-smelling savor, you cannot offer an offering with a blemish. That's what the Lord's telling us here. He says, don't let people come and offer with a blemish. Remember the other week we were speaking about the testimony of Dima Shakarian, about that young prophet who lived back then, 1800 and something, who told those Armenians to leave because the Turks were going to come. And that's how Dima Shakarian lived. That same young man, they had a feast in their village amongst the believers. And it was a certain person's house. And this brother said, I really want the believers to eat, but I only have an animal here that's lame. He didn't have an animal without a blemish. And he says, I don't want to make an offering to the Lord or to the servants of the Lord that has a blemish. But he says, but there's nothing I can do. And so what he did, it was blind. It was a beast that was blind. So he slew the beast, took the head, and he went and he buried it. And he took that, made stew, made food, and it was something for the Lord that he wanted to do for the Lord. Now that young man, that young boy that was a prophet, he came along to that feast that day. And when he came to the feast, he was carrying a bag. And in the bag was the head of that beast. And the Lord had showed him in a vision that this offering that was made for me has a blemish. And that prophet, that young boy, went and dug it out where that other man had hidden it and brought it and says, the Lord wanted me to bring this back to you. Just to show him. And friends, I think there's a real, real good principle in that. Friends, the Lord is a great king. The Lord, when he gave to us, he gave the greatest that he could give. If God could have given anything greater, he would have. And that's why we've got the wine and the bread here tonight. He gave the greatest thing that he could. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So friends, when the Lord says, come and give me something in return. I want a fellowship with you. I want to bless you. Come and make an offering for me so I can respond to your offering. Let's make sure we don't have a blemish in our offering, friends. Let's make sure this offering, as far as we possibly can, spiritually speaking, is without blemish. Then it can be an acceptable offering before the Lord. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. That's the key. That's his key. Many people don't want to do something for the Lord. Like Brother Maxwell said, people don't want to come on a Wednesday for prayer meeting. No, they don't want. They say, my business is more important. The things I put in my diary are more important than putting divine things in my diary. It's okay. The prophet says, God will accept what you give to him. But you'll only receive still the partial blessing. We'll never come to the full blessing when we like that. If we're not putting God supreme and as our absolute. When God gave the absolute to die for us. Friends, we can never expect the full blessing. We can never accept the full blessing. You've got to put him first. That's what the burnt offering. It's got to be a voluntary offering. And you've got to bring something without a blemish. You've got to look for the best of your flock. The best of your cattle. The best of your sheep. The best of your lambs. Because of who you're offering this to. That has a revelation. You have a revelation then of who you're offering it to. Verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Friends, people come sometimes, they want to sing songs. They want to sing it so that people can see they got a good voice. That's okay. We appreciate that. But it'll be far greater blessing if you sing it unto the Lord. Amen. If you come and say, I'm doing this for the Lord. And sometimes people criticize, say this, that, and then a person says, I'm not going to go and sing anymore. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so said something about me. You're supposed to make your offering to the Lord. What's it got to do with you and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so? Were they there when Christ died for you? They weren't there. Christ died for you. He shed his blood. He redeemed you with his blood. So when you bring in an offering, bring it unto him. Even if everybody, the prophet says, even if I come and I pray for everybody who's sick and they all die. He says, I'm still going to come back tomorrow and pray for all the sick people. That should be the attitude, friends. Even if you come next week, there's only 3 people in here. The song leader should still get up. And so I'm going to do my service to the Lord. I'm going to minister to his body. Each and every one of us, the minister should still get up. The prophet says that young lady, that time in that village, and she wanted to have a revival. And she couldn't get people interested, so she went and she printed tracts and invited a minister to come and to preach. And she gave out all the leaflets in the street. Remember, he says, and invited people. We're going to have a meeting, and a certain evangelist is going to preach in the evening. And everyone was throwing them down. And then that young boy with a missing tooth took it and said, "What's this? I can't read." And she said, "We're having a meeting at such and such a time." So when the meeting came, that lady had hired that hall and had cleaned it out and put the chairs in order. And when the meeting started, it was just the evangelist and that woman. And the prophet says, but that evangelist preached his message just as hard as he ever would. Because he wasn't doing it for people. It's an offering unto the Lord. That's what a burnt offering is. And then the young boy came in the middle of the service and sat in the back. And then he got closer and closer and he gave his heart to the Lord. Then the prophet says that was Dwight Moody, who led 500,000 people to Christ in his day. But that evangelist just preached like normal. Friends, that's a burnt offering. That's an acceptable sacrifice before the Lord. Because you're doing it before the Lord. You're not doing it before men. Imagine if Jesus had our attitude. He would have given up a long time ago. When people said, "He's illegitimate born." Huh? When he went to the synagogue. He would have said, "I'm never coming back to the synagogue again." But that was his father's house. When he got to the temple then, he whipped the people out, and the people were angry with him and the priesthood. He didn't care about what the people thought. He was doing it unto the Lord. This, do you not know, this is my father's house. It should be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Friends, that's an acceptable offering. Doing something before the Lord. When the disciples all forsook him in the time of his greatest need, you think Jesus should have given up at that stage? It's okay, please, Pilate, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That's not really worthwhile doing what I'm doing. The very people that I'm doing these things don't even appreciate what I'm doing. Friends, he was born to die. He knew his calling. He knew, I'm to be a burnt offering first. My life has to be perfectly acceptable so that I can become the sin offering for the sins of the world. Amen. It's a real important principle, this, friends. To me, it really challenged me when I was reading these things the other day. It makes you check your motives and your objectives to say, why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you're doing it unto the Lord, there's always a blessing. He'll bless you in your soul. He'll bless you with the revelation of the word. He'll bless you with answers to prayer. When your children get sick, you'll pray and God will heal them. When you have needs in the home, God will meet your needs. Because it's an offering unto the Lord. It's a sweet savor. It comes up before him and it moves his heart. And when God's heart is moved by something that you do, friends, God's going to do something about it. If you go and read about Cornelius, if you want to see the first time the Holy Ghost fell upon the Gentiles, it was in the house of Cornelius. But the Bible says his prayers and his alms came up as a memorial before God. God says, this is a burnt offering. It's a sweet savor to me. Let me send Peter to open the door with the keys that I've given him. And here comes Peter, just starts preaching. The Holy Ghost falls upon the whole house because there was a burnt offering. The fire falls on the sacrifice. Because there was a man whose prayers and his alms came up as a memorial before God. Ah, friends, that should be a challenge to all of us. That should be a challenge. I want my service to come up as a memorial before the Lord. I'm not seeking for blessings for God. I want my inheritance. I want the fullness of my possession. I want the fullness of what Christ died for me to have. But I need him to quicken me that I might get it. That if I lay myself as a burnt offering, the fire is going to come and quicken my soul. Persuade me, move me forward. Quicken me in my authority. Quicken me in my revelation. Quicken me in prayer. And I'm going to quicker possess the things that I'm ordained to possess. Like Gideon in his day. But we've got to become a burnt offering first. We've got to lay something upon the altar, friends. And we don't lay lilies on the altar, the prophet says. You don't lay anything else upon the altar. There's only one thing God's looking for on the altar now, and that's you and I. But it's got to be a voluntary offering. It's not a sin offering. It's a burnt offering. It's an offering that you offer that God will accept. That it's a consecration. That God looks down and says, this pleases me. Let me do something more for these people. Let's move them to the next stage in the experience. But you've got to do something for God to respond to, friends. If we just go round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, God's going to continue doing the same things that he does. We'll still have the partial blessing, the partial realization of what the message came for. But if we are determined in ourselves, even one or two people here, were determined and said, Lord, by your grace, 2014, I'm going to be a burnt offering. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give more. I'm going to lay myself upon the altar. Wait and see what will happen. I guarantee you, when we come to this time next year, we're not going to be in this condition. We're going to be speaking of revival. Like in Vilnius, where we came back from. We're going to be speaking of the glory of God and the face of the children of God. We're going to be speaking of people that are saying, throw away the watch when you get in the pulpit. Don't worry about time, because there's a revival going on. Because God's blessing comes upon the burnt offering. But you've got to be a burnt offering, friends. It's got to be a voluntary offering. There's no other way. Let's just show some more things and then we close. He says, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. We know that, yeah? Verse 6. Now watch what it is. And he shall flay the burnt offering. He shall skin it. What is it speaking of? The blemishes, he has to make sure it's blemish free on the outside and on the inside. It's not a Pharisee's righteousness that we're all righteous on the outside, but inside we're full of corruption and dead men's bones. We have unforgiveness, we have bitterness, we can't speak well to our neighbors, we can't forgive people when they do wrong. You can't be a burnt offering like that. You've got a blemish in there. You've got to offer this offering without a blemish. So he says, take the skin off. It can't just be skin deep, this kind of an offering, this kind of religion. It can be all perfect on the outside, but if there's a blemish on the inside, friends, the Lord can't accept it as a burnt offering. The fire of God cannot fall upon an offering like that. It can't consume a sacrifice like that. It doesn't come up as a sweet savor before the Lord. Instead, in Isaiah 1, he says, it's come up as a stink in my nostrils. He says, away with me, away with your solemn assemblies. When you lift your hands in prayer, I'm not going to hear what you say. And then people say, why? He says, because your hands are full of blood. You're murdering your brothers and your sisters by speaking against them, by gossiping against them, by holding things against people. Wash ye, make ye clean. Come, let us reason together. And your sins that were red as scarlet shall be as white as snow. There's no shortcuts to the blessings of God, friends. I've learned that in my little Christian life, and you've learned the same. God blesses sacrifice when it's offered His way. It's not just any sacrifice. Cain brought his offering and God was grieved by his offering. God says, away with such. There's no revelation in what you're doing. But when Abel came, there was faith. There was a revelation. He entered into the channel that Jehovah had opened, the channel of revelation. He offered it and the fire fell and consumed his sacrifice. It was an acceptable offering before the Lord. Friends, why waste our time if it's not an acceptable offering? Why offer a blemished offering to the Lord? Why play with the world and then come into the house of the Lord? That's a blemished offering. Let's not do that. If we want the fullness of God and what He has for us, Brother Christian said it so well. Three kinds of believers. Not everyone here is going to offer a voluntary offering because not everybody wants to worship God. But to the genuine believers here, let it be a trumpet call today. Saints, let's become a burnt offering. Let's follow God's prescription to get the fullness of the blessing. Let's become a burnt offering like our Lord was by following in His footsteps. He says, so bring it, flay the burnt offering, verse 6, and cut it into His pieces. Now, they didn't just cut it any kind of a way. Look at what was offered as a burnt offering. Verse 8. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts. Which parts? The head. Friends. The head. There's got to be some consecration here, friends. We can't be meditating upon the things of the world, putting worldly music in our ears, watching things that are worldly, letting worldly thoughts dominate our minds. If you want to be a burnt offering, the first thing that has to go on there, which is unblemished, is the head. You've got to get it right in the mind. That's why there's the greatest battle ever fought. The devil's going to try to speak to you here to make you bitter against this person, have unforgiveness, mar your experience, become a blemished offering. But you've got to take this head and you've got to lay it upon the altar and say, Lord, let me put on the helmet of salvation. Let me have the mind of Christ. Let me be washed by the waters of the word, that my mind is sanctified, that the thoughts of my heart and the meditations of my mind may be acceptable in your sight, that you're not just thinking about money, riches, popularity, those kind of things, but friends, that your thoughts are on the things of the Lord. There's nothing sweeter than meditating on the goodness of God, than meditating upon the things of the Lord, than taking His word and meditating upon His word, taking the message and meditating until it starts to sink in. It's got to be the head first. And He says, and once you do the head, He says, and the fat in order upon the wood. What is the fat? The fat is the choice portions of the sacrifice. This is the abundance that you have. These are the things that you love, the things that you esteem. It's the fat. Remember in the next part of the burnt offering, when the Lord said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, that you love, and go and offer him as a burnt offering. That wasn't a sin offering. The Lord was testing the consecration of this man. Abraham, do you love me more than you love this precious thing? If you love me more than this precious thing, take this precious thing and put it on the altar and let it be a burnt offering to the Lord. That's a serious thing to ask, friends. A man has waited all those years, for this is the most precious thing in his life. And the Lord's saying, Abraham, come, come. If you want to offer to me, bring the fat. Bring this precious thing. Bring the choice. Put it on there. And Abraham did. Friend, that was a serious thing for Abraham to do. Amen. And he went and he bound him and he took the knife. And he was about to slay his son to please the Lord. And the angel caught his hand and says, in blessing I will bless you. One of the greatest blessings in the Bible, Genesis 22. In blessing I will bless you. Your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Where did the blessing come from? From the burnt offering first. Then came the full. Then came the Jehovah Jireh. Then the lamb was in the thicket. Friends, there was the third pull. There was the fullness of the blessing when the man was willing to offer the burnt offering. To take the choice thing in his life, the most precious thing, his most esteemed thing, and say, Lord, I don't want to love this more than you. I want to love you more than this. I'm going to lay this upon the altar. That's a serious thing. That's the fat, friends. He says, bring the head and bring the fat. And what's the next thing that he says? Verse 9. But his inwards, the inwards, friends, your loins, the seat of your emotions, the seat of your feelings, the seat right inside of there. Sometimes we feel bitterness against people. Sometimes we feel anger. Sometimes we feel we want to take things in our own hands. You know what the Lord says? If you want your offering to be acceptable, bring that and put it on the altar. And let me burn that out of you. Let that become a burnt offering. Friends, if you want the full blessing, if you want full acceptance before the Lord, which the burnt offering speaks of, acceptance before the Lord, we've got to bring everything. We can't just bring some of the things. We can't hold certain doors, the prophet says, and keep certain compartments saying, Lord, I'm not going to allow you in here. Yes, you can be under the sin offering. God will have forgiven you of your sin. But for you to get your inheritance, you've got to become a burnt offering. Amen. God's got to accept that offering. And the fire's got to fall upon that. And he says, bring the inward parts. Bring those things, friends, that none of us know about. The inward things, those things that canker your experience, the prophet says. Those things that poison you, a root of bitterness springing up that can defile many. We've got to bring those things to the altar. We've got to come and offer them before the Lord, laid on the altar and say, Lord, I want this to be an unblemished offering. I want to enter into 2014 as an unblemished burnt offering in your hands and for your service and for your kingdom. I want this to be an acceptable offering before the Lord. Lord, I bring all that's on the inside of me and I lay it upon the altar. And the final thing they had to bring, his inwards and his legs. His legs. That includes your feet. This speaks of a holy walk, friends. You can't walk in the world and then come and bring those legs and come and offer them as a burnt offering before the Lord. It's a holy walk. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Friends, behold how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good joy. Bring your legs, bring your feet. Friends, you don't want to be found. The prophet said he had it in his house. You don't want to be found doing certain things when Jesus comes. You don't want to be found in certain places if Jesus would come. You want to make sure those feet are consecrated. You want to make sure that you're walking in His footsteps. Because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He says, bring your legs. Bring the legs and offer them. And then He says, wash them. Look, He says, but His inwards and His legs shall He wash in water. And Paul tells us, Ephesians 5, the washings of the water of the word. That's how we get ourselves back in an acceptable condition once again. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Friend, it's got to all be there. You've got to bring it all. You know, there's a song that says, Jesus gave it all. And He did. He gave it all. Now Jesus says, I gave it all. Now you come and give it all. Let's finish with one more scripture here. Jesus Himself, the great burnt offering. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. Don't you feel like that? Would you not like to be able to say to yourself, the hour has come. Yeah. All that I was born for, all that I've been trained for, all that is molded and made me and brought me through is to bring me to this hour. And Jesus says, Father, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, how can He be glorified? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what He had to do. He was the burnt offering. He lived the perfect life. But He was born to die. They brought the gold. He was deity. They brought the frankincense. His service was perfectly acceptable all the days of His ministration. But the last thing they brought was the myrrh. He had to drink the bitter cup. Death. That was His adoption. That was His purpose. He had to die to bring many sons to glory. And when He came now to that stage and He knew the hour has come. The hour has come for me to manifest and to fulfill all that is written of me. The hour has come. He realized it's not going to be easy. Because the only way that this fruit that I was sent to bring forth can come forth is this corn of wheat is going to have to fall in the ground and die. Because if it doesn't fall in the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. Jesus had no sin. He was spotless. He could have lived Himself for eternity if He so desired. But we sang about it. Imagine if He hadn't been willing to take the bitter cup. But now came the burnt offering. Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. It was a voluntary offering. And He went and laid all that He was upon the altar. We know the brazen altar is the cross. And there He was. The burnt offering became the sin offering on the cross. The trespass offering on the cross. And the only reason God could accept Him on the cross was because He has a perfect burnt offering. Because His life was so pleasing before the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to show who He was. And He brought Him up in the resurrection. And it says He humbled Himself, took on the form of a servant. And even went further than that. He humbled Himself even further to the death of the cross. Therefore God is highly exalted. And Jesus says it, but He doesn't just leave it with Himself. He says it in verse 25. He that loveth his life. Now friends, don't put that away from yourself. What is your life? It's your thoughts, your ambitions, the decisions that you're making. Your desires that you have today, the things that you're holding in your heart, that's your life. That's part of you. But if you love your life, your ambitions, you want everyone to see it the way you see it, you want everyone to plan everything the way around the way that you do things. Like Brother Christian was speaking of selfishness the other day. Is that not the enemy of us all? You'll never be a burnt offering with selfishness in your life. If you're thinking of yourself first, you can't be a burnt offering. If Jesus was thinking of Himself first, He would never have gone to the cross. He said, Father, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. That's why. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life, this natural life, this cockle bird that you're in, you hate this because it's getting in the way of the expression of your soul, which came from God. Your soul wants to express itself, but your natural life keeps wanting to get in the way, like Jacob. Whenever God starts to do something inside of your life, your temperament gets in the way. Your feelings get in the way. Your mind gets in the way. You've got to hate that life in order for it to get out the way. You've got to say, I want this life. I don't want Peter. I don't want Jacob. I want Israel. I want the real me to express itself, but this Jacob's got to die. I've got to stop giving him the preeminence. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And he was the burnt offering. We've got to follow him as well. Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, friends. And you know it yourself. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Father, and he can only be glorified when we become a burnt offering. When his glory can consume the sacrifice, that you can say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's how he'll be glorified. Then came there a voice from heaven. There'll always be a response to that kind of a desire, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Friends, I do appreciate what the Lord has done in and through us. I do appreciate it. But like we said that other week when we were speaking about Hannah, we know there's far more. The Lord has far deeper thoughts, far greater things that he desires. But sometimes, like Brother Christian, we were saying at the end, sometimes we're looking to the end, but the Lord's trying to show us the way. He's trying to show us the footsteps to follow to get to the end. And friends, Jesus showed us the footsteps. And we've come in a commemoration tonight of the blood. He didn't keep it in his own veins. He didn't keep it to himself. He shed it for us. His body, he didn't keep it to himself and say, I can marry like any other man. I can live like any other man. That body was broken for us. And he says, take this. It's my body. You eat it. It's broken for you. And he took the wine, poured out, says, drink it, all of it. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood, which is going to be poured out for you. Friends, that was such an acceptable offering. May the Lord grant us grace as we come. Friends, if you've got any blemish in your experience before you come, Paul says, don't come with a blemish. That's not discerning the body of the Lord. Let's have a time of prayer before you come. Go to the sin offering. Go to the trespass offering. Use Jehovah's divine provision tonight so that when you come here, there's no blemish. The Bible says, if you don't forgive your brother, Jesus is not going to forgive you. So you've got to come and lay that upon the altar and say, Lord, I forgive. Freely you have forgiven me, freely I forgive. Grant me grace. Let it be an unblemished sacrifice as we come. Let's stand. Let's sing one song and come to a time of prayer as we prepare ourselves for the communion. I'm sorry if I took too long. To me, it's just an important principle, an important topic, this one. Let's sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
To Jesus I surrender, to him I freely give. I give. I surrender all to you.
Lord and Savior. Oh, to Thee my blessed Savior I surrender. Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Humbly at His feet
I bow.
Oh,
worldly pleasures
forsaken,
take me, Jesus, take me.
I surrender,
my Lord,
I surrender,
oh,
to Thee, my blessed Savior,
I surrender
to Him, to Jesus I surrender.
Let me
Savior
holy
Thy,
let me
feel the Holy Spirit.
I surrender,
my Lord,
I surrender,
oh, to Thee, my Lord, oh,
to Thee, my blessed Savior,
I surrender.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to You, my Lord. Oh,
to Jesus
I surrender.
Lord,
I give myself
to Thee,
my Lord.
Fill
me with
Thy
love and
power.
Let
Thy
blessings
fall.
I surrender.
I surrender, oh, to my Lord, oh,
to Jesus
I surrender.
Now
I feel
the sacred flame,
oh,
the joy
of
full
salvation.
Glory
to
Thy name.
Oh,
I surrender.
My Lord,
I surrender.
Oh, my Lord, here and now.
Oh,
to Thee,
my
blessed
Savior,
I surrender.
Let's sing one more song. Let's sing that song, Walking in the Footsteps of Elohim. Yeah? I'm sure that's your desire, is to walk with Him closer in this year that lays before. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let's sing the song. We come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Put yourself under the blood. Let's come without blemish, spiritually speaking, to partake of this which was offered without blemish.
Amen.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way.
There's a great portion of heaven
is
waiting for you,
because of what you decided.
Oh,
that was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger.
To the great messenger. That is what will produce
a great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path.
In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, this path has many trials,
oh,
and many battles against the enemy.
But His Holy Spirit will lead us
to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to
in this path.
In this path. Chariots
of our beloved one coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, my desire, that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Let's all pray, let's all call upon his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, upon this night and how we just desire each and every one of us, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, to come unto thee at this time. Father, we just want to bring ourselves. Father, we thank you for communion, Lord. Father, we thank you for this bread that is before us, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it speaks of your body that was broken for us. May you please bless this bread upon this night, Lord. Father, let it minister healing, Lord, where healing is required. Father, let it minister strength for the journey, Lord. Spiritually speaking, we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wine that speaks of your blood. Lord Jesus, how many times we've been beneficiaries of your blood. How many times we've let you down. How many times we've grieved you away. We've been out of fellowship with you. But the blood has never lost its power. And how many times, Lord Jesus, we've just come back in the presence of the blood. And Lord, we've just acknowledged the greatness of our need unto you. And the blood has spoken on our behalf. And you've washed us in your blood once again. And Father, you've renewed us and restored us. That you've brought us back into fellowship once again. Father, we thank you for this blood. Lord, we thank you for the wine that speaks of the blood. May you sanctify it upon this night. And Father, for each of your people upon this night, I just want to bring every soul that is here. Father, may your grace, Lord, may the deep that is in you continue to minister to the deep that is in us. Father, to bring us to that place that you'd have us to be. Father, that we may lay ourselves, Lord, as living sacrifices, Lord. Father, that our offering may be holy and acceptable unto thee. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you that there's a perfect offering, Lord, a perfect atonement, Lord, a provision that you've already made for us. Father, we just come by the way of that provision, the way of the brazen altar upon this day. But Father, we don't want to stay at the brazen altar. We want to come beyond the golden altar of incense, and we want to go within the veil. And Father, we just want to come and just lay in your presence, Lord, and bathe in your glory in the Shekinah presence, Lord, that we may become Shekinah bread. That Father, Lord, the rods may bud and blossom and bring forth fruit. That Lord Jesus, the manna will never be stale, but always be fresh unto us. That's a place that we desire to be. And Father, we know that you are the one that opened the way. Because when your body was broken and your blood was shed, the veil was rent and the way was made open. That we can enter in with boldness upon this night into the secret place of the Most High. So we come by your grace. Father, we stand against the enemy. Father, the enemy of our souls, the enemy of your work. Father, we stand against him upon this night. Father, we will listen to him no more. But Father, we just resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every spirit of strife, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of infirmity, Lord, every spirit, Lord, of, Father, uncleanness, whatsoever it would be, as your people, Lord, Father, we just bring your grace. We just bring the power and authority invested in your word against every such spirit upon this night. And Father, we cast him forth in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in its fullness. Let your will be done in earth even as it is in heaven. And Father, you help us, Lord. Father, bless Brother Christian. Bless Sister Mummy. Bless their family. Even as they travel tonight, bless them and keep them, we pray. Bless them in their fellowship and communion with us. And Father, may you continue to lead us and guide us in a precious fellowship and communion in this year that would lay before. Thank you, Lord. Bless us as we wash one another's feet. Please, we pray. Father, be with us in all that is said and done from now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Let's read a communion scripture, saints. Let's read from Matthew chapter 26. We know the scriptures fairly well, but let's read Matthew 26, the Last Supper, from verse 26. And as they were eating the Passover meal, we know that. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What a blessed promise. Let's come to communion, saints.
Suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to drink this bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels pick the nails from his hands that set me free. Oh, had it not been for a man school Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes I know, he holds my future, and life is with the living just because he lives. God sent his son,
they called him Jesus. Heal and forgive, he bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove Savior lives, because he I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fears is gone, because I know
he holds my future,
and life is
worth the living just.
Oh,
I know he lives.
And then one day
I'll cross the river.
I'll cross that bright fair river. I'll fight life's final war with, oh, with my Lord. And then as day
gives way to victory,
gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory. For I know, for I know He lives because He lives. Oh, because Jesus lives. I can face anything tomorrow.
Because He lives.
No matter the situation, oh, my fear
is gone.
Oh, my fear is gone. Because I know. Future
and life is worth the living just because He lives
with the Lamb.
And then our day,
oh, and then one day
God sent His prophet just as He sent
promised
He would live.
He would say
to his bride,
yeah,
with his end time message,
and Christ in me is there to prove
my Savior lives.
Oh, His word still lives
because He lives.
Oh, because He lives,
I can face tomorrow.
I can face tomorrow
because He lives.
Because He lives.
Oh, fear is gone.
Oh, fear is gone.
Yes, I know.
I know.
Yes,
I know.
He holds my future, and life is with the living just because He lives.
When I see the blood, when I
see the blood,
when I see the blood, pass over you, over you. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, paid holy, died for the sinners, paid holy. All is due, sprinkle your soul with the blood, blood of the Lamb, and I will pass, oh, over you, when I, hallelujah,
see the blood,
when I see the blood, when I
see
the blood, when I
see the
when I see the blood,
I will pass
over you.
Let's open John chapter 13. We come to foot washing saints. John chapter 13. Let's read from verse 12. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call Me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. We're happy to do them. Let the brothers come this side and sisters come this side. Let's wash one another's feet in Jesus' name. Christian, if you don't mind coming to close in a word of prayer. Let's remember Sister Deirdre, Brother Brian, they're going to Norway tomorrow. Thursday, yeah, 26th, and coming back next week, Friday, I think it is, yeah? Send the second. So let's remember them in prayer. They're going to visit Sister Deirdre's daughter. Brother Christian and his wife and his family, they're traveling tonight, so let's remember them as well, and as with the other people that are traveling. Just one more announcement, there'll be no service on Friday. I think everybody who preaches and ministers needs some rest. It's been quite a time, quite a year. So there'll be no service on Friday. We'll have service on Sunday as normal. And the next Tuesday night, we have our New Year's service. So we're really looking forward to that. Come, we'll start a bit early again. We'll start next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And we'll have preaching, we'll have testimonies. It gives everybody an opportunity once again to dig up the talents that have been buried for a long time. Come and bless the saints. Come and offer something before the Lord. You know, if you can sing, come and sing. If you can't sing and you want to sing, still come and sing. Come with your testimony. Come with whatever the Lord has put inside of your heart. And let's make it a real sweet time in the presence of the Lord as we finish the year. So that's next Tuesday. Let's start. That's the 31st at around 7 o'clock. And may the Lord bless everybody. Let's sing one more song. Then we ask Brother Christian to come and close for us in a word of prayer.
I'm gonna stay right under his blood. Where the devil can't do. I'm gonna stay right under his blood. Where the devil can't do me no harm. I'm gonna stay right under his blood. Where the devil can't do me no harm.
Amen.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
As we sank, we want to really stay under your blood.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know your blood being shed and your body won't been broken, Father.
Amen.
You are just one body, but being broken to bring many in life, Father.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
We bow our hearts and we come, Father, in your presence.
Amen, Lord.
To ask you, Father, after you've been broken your body, you give us the bread.
Amen.
And we've been drink your blood.
Amen.
This wine, Father.
Amen.
Let this give us strength.
Amen.
Yes. Let us consider the reason why this body was being broken.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father, you break it for us.
Amen. Amen.
To bring reconciliation to you, Father.
Amen.
You say, as I done for you, I wash your feet. Let you do for one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, let us in our heart to be really humble.
Amen.
Ready to forgive one another.
Yes, Lord.
Because Christian life is to live for others.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we want it. But we know it's hard for human being.
Amen.
Because we have our selfishness.
Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But we see in Calvary.
Amen.
Where everything was being possible, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm asking you, Father, as your servant and child.
Amen, amen, amen.
Father, to fill us with your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And your blood have power, yes, to remove all dross in us.
Amen, amen, amen.
Where,
yes,
Father, we can be ready.
Yes, Lord.
To forgive. That's when we say never we forgive him.
Amen, amen, amen.
Father, to walk together in the footstep of your servants.
Yes,
those that you show their life before us as example, Father. Father, I ask you, Father, as I'm leaving this congregation.
Yes, Lord.
And we're going to leave this place, but Amen. Your angel to go with us.
Amen, Lord.
And yes, the Father,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your love Amen. Flow in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We need your love, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because there is not a great arm, weapon, Father, that can fight enemy if it's not a love.
Amen.
Yes.
Without love, we can't make it.
Yes, Lord.
And your servant, William Mario Branham,
Amen.
He said to us, the great things the Lord gives to us Amen. Is a fellowship.
Yes, Lord.
When we can fellowship in one accord.
Amen.
And he will come down with us, Father.
Amen, amen.
I'm asking you, Father, give us this true, genuine fellowship.
Yes, Lord.
We need it. As we are ended this year,
amen. Yes, Lord.
All those things that was hard for us,
amen.
Father, to be like Pharaoh,
amen.
And his soldiers to be sinking in Red Sea, Father.
Amen. Yes,
and Lord. Father, we sing the song of Zion,
amen.
Hosanna, and our full step,
yes.
To reach the promised land.
Yes, Lord.
Everyone to be filled with Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We don't know to pray, but you know what is in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We're asking you, Father, to bless us.
Please, Lord.
To bless this ministry of Brother Andrew and all those that are with him, Father.
Amen. Please, Lord.
For to see one thing.
Amen.
To bring forth this church.
Amen.
To maturity, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Where the people, they can see something is being manifested.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father, you know the request is in the hearts,
amen.
Of everyone here.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, grant it to us.
Please, Lord.
According your own will.
Yes, Lord.
I ask it in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all those requests.
Amen.
And as brother and sister, they are thinking to travel, Father.
Amen.
Let your angel go with them.
Please, Lord.
And the word of healing to be placed in them where they are going, Father.
Amen, amen, amen.
And Father, we are going back in Cork. Is night time is not so safe,
amen.
But let your light be in our way.
Please, Lord.
And
yes,
to be meet again if you tarry to come,
yes.
One day back again, Father,
amen.
To be in this place again.
Yes, Lord.
I'm asking all those things in your mighty name, the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us. And forgive our sin.
Please,
and
Lord.
Those that are not been with us in this time, Father.
Amen.
You know the reason, Father.
Amen.
Speak to their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Because, Father, when one miss is like one part of body is not there.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And, Father, you speak to them in the way they will learn, Father, to unite as one body.
Amen.
Father, we ask it in the mighty name, the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. God bless you, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. God bless you, saints.
The love of Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day shall never lose his power. And it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. Oh, from day to day, it shall never lose its power. Soothes my doubts, calms my fear, and it dries all my pain. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose its power, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valleys. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, Sister Susan, it shall never lose its power.